Thursday bullet points for today. O'Reilly has been factored out. Chaffetz is out too. The shattered revelations continue from that new book. A little test. Are you a victim? We'll have that. Ann Coulter banned in Berkeley, plus so much more on the program today. Kyle Melendez and Figaro, Jason Hayes, Brian Crabtree, and Ivy is here with her unique insight and ideas about just about everything. So sit tight, get a pencil, get your knickers on, and fill up your coffee. This is The Steve Gruber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is The Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Oh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to it on this Thursday. A big bombshell leveled across the world of television news, cable news in particular. Bill O'Reilly's been the king of cable news for more than 15 years, but today, the Fox News Channel firebrand is out. O'Reilly, by far the biggest star in cable news, and his shocking and sudden exit comes amid a flurry of allegations. Just that, allegations that he has been involved in numerous sexual harassment situations that the network was forced to address. The New York Times reported April 1st that 21st Century Fox had paid at least $13 million to five women who accused O'Reilly of sexual harassment during his time at the network. As a result, advertisers fled the program in droves over the past couple of weeks. As many as 90 companies pulled commercials from the O'Reilly Factor, and O'Reilly himself fled to Italy for a so-called vacation. He was photographed on Wednesday shaking the Pope's hand, but even divine intervention wasn't enough to stop his amazing fall from grace. Fox News moved quickly to fill the gaping hole in its primetime lineup starting Monday. Tucker Carlson will move to the coveted 8 o'clock spot, according to all reports. The 5 will relocate to 9, so it'll be 5 at 9, I suppose. Sean Hannity will remain where he is, happy at 10 o'clock. It is the third high-profile loss for Fox in recent memory. Megyn Kelly, who followed the O'Reilly Factor for quite a period of time, left the network following another high-profile sexual harassment investigation involving Roger Ailes, the director of news there. Ailes forced out of Fox 9 months ago. Kelly exited in December and accepted a new position with NBC News. She's not yet been on the network, but indications are that she's going to take over the latter part of the Today Show, beginning at 9 in the morning, going head-to-head with Kelly Ripa. Whatever, I'll never see it, and I don't care. This will bring pleasure to the other cable news providers like CNN and MSNBC, who have lived in O'Reilly's ratings shadow for a decade and a half. O'Reilly has dominated news ratings since shortly after 9/11. In fact, his show, according to the most recent numbers, brought in somewhere on the order of $200 million a year to the network. $200 million in ad revenue per year. Stunning amount of money. His was an incredible run for sure. It does prove, however, that no matter who you are, no matter how untouchable you think you may be, you are never too big to fall. In fact, the decision to drop O'Reilly comes just a few months after he signed a $20 million per year contract. No word yet on how much money Fox may have to put into O'Reilly's pocket to pull out of the current contract. But stay tuned, because I am quite sure of one thing. The 67-year-old O'Reilly will surface somewhere, and it won't take too long for someone to figure out he has the star power to draw an incredible audience, which he does, and he will be back. Ivy, you said that you were reading Deneen Borelli here, I don't know, yesterday, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Regular contributor here to the program. I think you kind of sided with her. You're like, what has he been convicted of? What has he done? Has he been charged with something? He's been allegations, and they paid off money. But from what I heard of the allegations, I'll give you this. A lot of talk. He wasn't getting handsy, from what I can tell, with people. He wasn't grabbing people. It wasn't, you know.
I don't know what he is guilty of or what he did, but.
None of us are. Nobody knows.
I just feel like it's, you know, if you are accused of something, then, and you're in the public spotlight, then you
get have the a right. Boot.
Yeah, you get the boot.
Yeah. Which, so here's the thing. All it takes is an allegation. So I'm working here.
He didn't get, there was no evidence that he's guilty of something, and he's been, you know.
Well, the old saying, of course, the higher up the flagpole you go, the more of your butt is exposed, mm-hmm. and people take shots at you, you know. And here he is. Of course he's a target. He's making $20, $25 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll be back, I think.
I believe so, too, but it's just...
It bothers you.
It does bother me, because we do live in a society and a country that allows us to, you know, be not guilty until you're proven otherwise. So, I mean, I just think that's wrong, because anybody can say anything about anyone, and I feel like...
And destroy them.
And destroy them.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
And it can be completely unfounded.
Okay. What are your thoughts? 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. We'll see what happens with Bill O'Reilly. He will end up somewhere, because some small network will pick him. Why wouldn't you? I mean, if him and Glenn Beck could work together, and I don't think they could, but if they could, The Blaze, Glenn Beck's little pet project television network that has, you know, not a lot of quality stuff around it. But you look who's out there now. You get Bill O'Reilly floating around. Tommy mm-hmm. Lahren, she got booted from The Blaze for making comments on The View about abortion and her being pro-choice. I mean, there's some core things you could build a network around, and O'Reilly will bring people with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was at the height. He was getting almost 4 million viewers a night as of a week or two ago. So, I mean, that kind of... Somebody's not going to ignore that.
No, and I'm actually really surprised that they booted him like that, because I think he is the flagship of Fox
There's no
News.
Question. He was the face, the voice, the and you know, I heard CNN this morning, because they're all gleeful. I guarantee you, it's CNN and MSNBC. They were drinking last night.
Yeah, big smiles,
heavily.
And pointing fingers.
Yeah, because now they have a chance to compete, but. Don't count Tucker Carlson out quite yet. His performance in the ratings has been spectacular, and his work at 8 o'clock might surprise a lot of folks. We'll keep an eye on that. Another big surprise, just another bombshell, Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah, chairman of the Key House Oversight Committee, announcing out of the blue he will not seek re-election in 2018 and plans to return to the private sector. No reason given. In fact, he stressed that he did not have ulterior motives for making the decision, and he may run for office again at some point. For those who would speculate otherwise, here's his quote. Let me be clear that I have no ulterior motives. I am healthy. I am confident I will continue to be reelected by large margins. I have the full support of Speaker Ryan to continue as chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. That said, I've made a personal decision to return to the private sector. I wonder what's really going on. It's highly irregular, I'll just say that. It does happen. We saw our own Mike Rogers from Michigan make a similar decision here a couple of years ago to pursue a radio career. I wonder if he regrets that decision, Mike Rogers. Should have him on the program at some point and ask him about that. It is 14 after on a busy Thursday, to say the least. A lot to talk about. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger than you. You are not me. The links that
Alex just asked me if it's supposed to storm today. I don't know. You guys from the Mackinac Bridge all the way south, you tell me. It's supposed to. Hey, we got to let him out of that room more often. Good Lord. He's locked in there like it's a tomb. Yeah, it's supposed to rain today, Alex, all over the state. Should pass out by this afternoon. There, you're up to speed, and we'll let you out for lunch. That's it. Bernie Sanders said he felt compelled to run against Hillary Clinton in last year's Democratic presidential primaries, according to a new book that came out this week, Shattered, which we have got to have. We've got to have this book. I've asked Ivy if she can, you know, run down Amy Parnes and Jonathan Allen, the two authors of this book. It details how Sanders disliked Clinton's way of campaigning, which drove him to enter the race. He disliked her so much, he decided to enter the race. And here's the question. Let me just put it this way. Who is the Democratic Party today? What is the Democratic Party today? I mean, that's a better way to put it. And I ask that because twice in the last 2 weeks, the Democrats have come out and said, we're going to win. First, it was Kansas. We're going to win in Kansas. And it's going to be this big thing, and we're going to win. And, of course, that didn't happen. And then it was going to be, we're going to flip the sixth. Well, no, you're not going to flip anything. You're going to flip out when you lose, I suppose. But honestly, what is the state of the Democratic Party today? Who's in charge? What do they stand for? The most popular guy in the party is Bernie Sanders. He isn't even a member of the party. He's a Democratic Socialist. You know, Democratic Socialists, like those that occupied Germany in the 1930s. The far-left Berkeley Ivy League liberals are leading the team. Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren. Maybe even Bill Clinton is apparently the de facto leader of the Democratic Party. Think about that. And they think this will attract enough votes to retake 33 governorships, state houses, the United States Senate, the U.S. House. And if people were voting for Democrats, what exactly would they be voting for? It's a serious question. The Democrats continue to focus on, you know, attacking Donald Trump or holding on to these little pieces of territory they have, like Berkeley. Or wherever. And yet, what do they really stand for? Do they stand for higher taxes? Do they want us to, oh, we need a higher minimum wage. Okay, that's a policy. That's not a way of thought or an agenda or an ideology. That's just, you know, higher taxes and give more to everybody. That's not really going to work for you. I mean, go check on Venezuela and see how things are coming along down there today. Or Cuba or North Korea, for that matter, and see how things are failing nicely today. Come on, folks, get a clue. The hard left, what about all the success along the way? Yeah, like I just mentioned, good grief. Let's just figure out what they stand for. That way we can talk about it. We're going to have Brian Crabtree here to talk about the Georgia 6th here in a little bit. But first, we're going to go to the hotline. Steve standing by in Lansing today. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you for this opportunity. I believe to understand the Democratic Party, you first have to understand who the Roosevelts were. And then as it comes forward, the people today that are call themselves Democrats that are 50 years old and older will cite World War II and the Roosevelts. And those who are younger will be more progressive. And what most people don't understand is the more progressive you become, and the more liberal you become, the more of a socialist or communist you become.
Well, in today's definition, that's true.
Excuse me?
In today's definition, that's true. You know, today's the modern progressive, if you will, means socialism, means Marxism. You know, it didn't always mean that.
And the old people who haven't caught up have been left behind. So they vote Democrat because they don't know any better, and they don't understand that they're more Republican than they truly are.
Because they haven't caught up with the times a lot. Well, I think a lot of people came to that realization during the last election cycle. Steve, thank you for checking in. I think they figured it out quite well. Nice comments. If you'd like to be on the Common Sense Hotline, it's an easy thing to do. Pick up the phone, dial 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Speaking of the Berkeley crowd, it is official. Ann Coulter has been banned in Berkeley. This follows the brawl of the day that Milo Yiannopoulos was supposed to be there. Ann Coulter out. She tells the Hollywood Reporter that she'll speak at the famously progressive campus, even though administrators are trying to prevent her from doing so. Yes, it was officially banned, Coulter has said of her April 27th appearance, but they can't stop me. I am an American. I have constitutional rights, and God bless her. I agree with her. You know, and I can't even fathom that recently I had arguments with liberals when I pointed out the fact that the First Amendment of the United States was under attack every day, and they laughed.
How do you come up with an idea like that, Steve?
Well, gee, because it's around us every single day. We see the First Amendment under attack every day. We have these cream puffs, these snowflakes, these victims who just cannot possibly hear another point of view without having a meltdown. And so they try to muzzle and silence and, well, more often beat down those that would disagree with them. Coulter, by the way, had accepted an invitation from two different campus groups, the Berkeley College Republicans and Bridge USA, to deliver a speech about immigration, the topic of one of her 12 New York Times best-selling books. If that's banned, then no conservative can speak, Coulter told The Hollywood Reporter on Wednesday. Meanwhile, corrupt banana Republic leaders like Vicente Fox have the red carpet rolled out for them on the taxpayer's dime, and she's right about that, too. Meanwhile, if you want to see socialist utopia in action, again, dial up Venezuela on your computer today, boys and girls. See how Venezuela's faring in the wake of their blessed utopia of socialism and hating the United States and hating capitalism. Just remember, no matter how you get there, the magical government spending, you know, the great government programs, and the comments like, well, it couldn't have been built with private dollars. It was built with private dollars that were then taken by the government in the form of taxes one way or the other and redistributed. No matter how you get there, simple education and economics, all government money is taxation one way or the other. 25 after, you're listening to The Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
It's 33 after on this Thursday, and I'm not calling anybody out here, but we kind of wonder why the world was going crazy today. And Ivy pointed out, not calling anybody out, but Ivy pointed out that it's 420. And so maybe the world's just a little bit buzzed up today or something like that. Anyhow, it's the Steve Gruber Show on this Thursday at 420. It'd be April 20th. If you understand the math, then you understand the math. My next guest, Kyle Malin, editor and vice president of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Steve. I'm trying to figure out the math right now in my head. It'll come to me in a half hour, I'm sure.
You don't understand 420, huh? I wouldn't expect you probably did.
No.
It's marijuana day, dude.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I still don't understand it.
I don't know, because that's the police code for, that's what I always understood, is the police code for a marijuana arrest is 420.
Oh, really?
That's what I you know, whatever. That would explain some of the craziness in the world, though, and I'm proud of you that you don't know the reason why.
Well, you know what, that's really funny that you should say that, because I was just reading an article about Charles Rogers, you know, the old Michigan State wide receiver who was a flame out because he smoked a lot of pot.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, he flamed out all right.
Yeah, because he smoked a lot of pot. Wow, that's pretty ironic. Okay, anyway.
Spark it up. Yeah, anyhow. All right, so there you go. There's your marijuana education on the program here today. We'll have more lessons coming up at the top of the hour. Big cuts to the government's, to the governor's budget, I should say, which is the state government. What's going on?
So what happened yesterday is the State House and the State Senate finished their first drafts of every budget in state government. And what they ended up finding is that the Senate was able to find $277 million in reductions from what the governor put forward. And the House was very close to that as well, $272 million. And what that does is that frees up money in a budget for a potential tax cut. Now, with as many cuts as they were able to find from the governor's budget, it's still not going to be a substantial cut. You know, the thought was that, boy, maybe we could get back to the rate that Jennifer Granholm said we could get back to, 3.9. 3.9% was the rate when Engler left office. It was the rate until the 2007 government shutdown when they jacked it back up to 4.35, and then Snyder came into office and stabilized at 4.25. So at 4.25, the money that they were able to cut out of the budget would reduce it. They could reduce it, Steve, to probably 4.15 with the money that they were able to get out of the budget, but really not much after that. They would have to cut the following year's budget and the budget after that in order to get to 3.9 without, you know, they'd have to make more cuts. There's just no way they can get to 3.9.
The thing, you know, the problem that we face in Michigan is the same problem that, well, most states and governments around this country face today. There are a few exceptions, but not many. But depending on where you look, the state of Michigan has a real debt, somewhere around $150 billion, roughly three times the annual budget combined. So how do we ever get that debt addressed, you know, while we fiddle around with these little things here and there? I mean, if you're going to address the debt, you've got to get to it, because at $150 billion, at some point, you're going to choke off this state. And the notion, well, we can just keep growing the economy. That doesn't happen. It doesn't work because the debts keep growing. At some point, those debts become due.
It's a real concern for folks within the Senate in particular. Senate Majority Leader Arlen Meekoff has talked about it. The Senate Appropriations Leader, Dave Hildebrand, has talked about it. We're still paying off debt, Steve, from the old John Engler Build Michigan Road projects.
Part one, two, or three? Is that we're paying for part one, part two, or part three? I'm not sure, but you're right. We're still, that's the point.
Yeah.
We're paying for roads that that were created, driven on, crumbled, and since turned to dust, and we're still paying for them.
Yeah, we are, and that's the problem with bonding for roads as part of a large infrastructure program. On one end, you could say, well, we're making our payments, and the debt service is out there, yes, and it's just part of the budget, and we're moving on. The other part says, if we pay a little more, that means we pay less later. That's the other thing, too. You pay off that debt service, you take care of it, and then you've got more money to spend on roads that need to be fixed today. So that's a very active discussion that's being had in the state capitol right now. Yeah, we were able to squeeze out, and literally it's just when you look at our whole budget and it being at $10 billion from the general fund, they were able to squeeze out $277 million of it. So really a fraction of the entire budget they were able to squeeze out of savings. What do you do with that money then? And if you give a tax cut, it ain't going to be a very big one. But I guess you could throw a little bit toward debt service and impact into the future.
And that's the point. You can't throw a little bit. From where I stand, you need to get your financial house in order, and it's going to be painful at some point. But the same is true at the federal level. A lot of the municipalities, the small towns, have the same problem, as you well know. They need to pay their debts. We're not doing it, and I think there should be more attention paid. Talking about it's all fine, well, but that's what right. They've been doing for years and years. That's just my personal concern, that Michigan has too big of a debt hanging over the heads of our, well, of you and I. We're still in the workforce for a long time, and our children and the people after that as well.
Well, and it's just not the debt service on things like buildings and roads and so forth. It's also what the accountants call unfunded liability. It's the liability that we owe workers when they're retired for their health care. We have told workers for the state of Michigan, for local governments and school districts across the state, that we're going to owe them money when they retire for their pensions and health benefits as well. We've made that agreement with them. And right now, in many cases across the state, that money, there's no money there for them. It's a pay-as-you-go system, and the accountants are saying, hey, you got to pre-fund this stuff. And slowly we're getting there. But even at the state of Michigan, Steve, the best fund we have for retiree health care is 27% funded, and in one case, with 0%
Now, think
funded.
About that. See, think about what you just said. The best case we have, we've got it about a quarter of it paid
yep.
for. The rest of it's like, I hope things go well. I hope things go out in the last one, 0% funded.
Zero.
I mean, how do people sleep at night?
Yeah, and I think the focus has just come around. In their defense, the focus the last few years has just come around to pre-funding retiree health care. It's just kind of been seen, oh, we'll just pay as you go and everything will be just fine.
Yeah, pixie dust and unicorns. It'll all just work out magically somehow, and there is no magical way to make it work out. We have to pay attention, and it's astounding to me that smart people allowed this to happen and put us in this position, because the people that came before, it's not like you had a band of complete imbeciles. How did they put us in this position? Because it's not a good place to be.
And even John Engler, the former governor, we were able to talk to him earlier this week, and he said taxes, and in talking about our tax rate, he goes, the government just has to find the sweet spot. There's going to be taxes. We do have things that we have to pay. And you can go too far on the tax cut route, like what happened in Kansas, where now they're scrambling to raise their rate because they couldn't pay for government. There are government expenses, and the things like roads and the unfunded liability we just talked about and our old debt, that's all part of it. And so that's why I think for Republicans in the state legislature, it's hard for them in the Senate and for the governor to swallow a tax cut, because they see the tax rate we have right now just barely getting by with what we have to pay for. And then on the federal level, like you mentioned, I mean, we haven't even talked about the federal government. That's just a complete mess with all our debt that we have to pay there.
Kyle, we have to leave it right there. Kyle Malin is the editor and vice president of the MERS newsletter. Kyle, always a good conversation. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
All right. It is 41 after. Quick break. We're going to talk about the exit of Bill O'Reilly from Fox News. Sit tight.
The Steve Gruber Show. American values with Midwestern common sense.
45 after on this Thursday. I'm kind of surprised that my next guest is here. Heck, I'm surprised I'm here. You know, we're both feverishly working on our resumes and mailing them to Fox News this morning, trying to get that coveted 8 o'clock time slot. Brian Crabtree on the line from our good friend from Georgia. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
How's your resume looking? Because, you know, you're going to look fine in replace of O'Reilly. You're going to look good, my friend.
Well, I have a little TV experience. You think they'll consider me for the position?
Well, you know, so do I. That's what I think. It's going to be you and I, a foot race to the finish line. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good fun.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, if you're in radio and the media, you always have your resume ready.
Well, there's just a lot of truth to that, you know. But if you get the job, I'll play the role of McGurk. I'll do that, whatever it takes.
I'll have you on as a contributor, and I guarantee you there will be no proposition at a hotel.
Yes, I appreciate that. I greatly appreciate the heads up on that. All right. So I was asking folks the last couple of days, what is the state of the Democratic Party? Because for a couple of weeks here, first in Kansas, they're gonna pull off this miracle in Kansas. And, well, the Republicans barely won by 8 points, which is not barely won. And then, in Georgia 6, you know, they're gonna flip the 6th. And then, well, he barely lost. 2-point difference. And when in an 18-man race, that's not exactly close in my estimation. Tell me about the 6th, first of all, in Georgia. What do you think happens now? The upstart Democrat did pick up 48% of the vote. Handel picked up, 20%? But they're going to have a runoff here in 5 or 6 weeks. What's going on?
Well, first, I think the Democrats are acting in this race and that race in Kansas like the Atlanta Falcons fans did the day after the Super Bowl. Well, we almost won. Well, you know, you still lost. So
yeah.
You're still a loser. And so that's loser mentality, loser thing. As far as what happens here in Georgia, I think Karen Handel has the chops in politics here to win. I think the Democrats will come up with everything they can, and we won't be able to turn around without seeing and hearing an ad about everything Karen Handel ever thought about that was bad. But at the same time, I think the Republicans will be able to do that to John Ossoff. You've got some things going on here that if they bring it out, and I'm not trying to brag here, but it's kind of sad. I think I've been the only guy in the media in Atlanta, not just nationally, but in Atlanta, talking about the things that really matter. No one's brought up the fact that he's taken a lot of money from Al Jazeera, so he's got a big Middle Eastern connection. Heck, if we've got to worry about a Russian connection with our president, we certainly have to worry about an Al-Qaeda, Middle Eastern. I mean, I can conflate two, and I think that we
Why
should
on earth?
To take to their own medicine.
Why on earth would Al Jazeera be contributing to John Ossoff's election efforts?
Well, because he's been taking money from Al Jazeera, the Qatar network there, for quite some time, and his film company. So no one's reporting on this in a way that I think the 6th District of Georgia will care. But it's an important fact. He's got ongoing business dealings with Al Jazeera as an investigative filmmaker. He still owns the company. He's still running it. So the question is he going to put that in a blind trust when he becomes the congressman? I think the same medicine that Democrats have poured onto Donald Trump should be poured onto this little kid that's running here in Georgia, because that's the same. It's a bigger connection, and it's very very viable connection that Georgia folks ought to be worried about. I'm being a little facetious. It's probably on the up and up, but at the same time, it's still an important fact that I think that the Georgia voters haven't really considered. There's a second fact.
Well, you know, the media, let me jump in here, because the media has no time to discuss such things while they're doing backflips and cartwheels celebrating the exit of O'Reilly, and I mean that. That was the lead story on CNN today, you know, as they're celebrating, and MSNBC, as they're all jumping for joy because they might actually be able to compete in cable news for ratings for once, for the first time in 15 years. Everything else be damned. Bill O'Reilly's gone. You know, the Wicked Witch is dead. Yay. And they're all dancing around the campfire. I'm not kidding you. It's bizarre, but...
Oh, I know. I know, and I would say to that, and I'm going to make a prediction, and I could be wrong, but I'm going to make it. I bet without missing a beat, Tucker Carlson continues to slaughter them, because there is no one who deserves that job if anyone's going to get it other than him.
I agree with you there. I think Tucker Carlson
is going to
slaughter
them. He's going to surprise them when he takes that slot, as he did with Megyn Kelly. He's more than bested her ratings. So,
well, he beat her ratings, but here's the other thing. Bill O'Reilly, here's where your problem lies. Bill O'Reilly will be back, and it won't be that long. It just depends on which small no-name network today picks him up. Nobody's going to let that ratings monster sit out in the pasture. There's no way. You know, he's got how many best-selling books?
It's interesting, Steve. I ran a Twitter poll yesterday, and 57 or 60% of the people on the poll, it's not scientific, thought he'd never be back. No one would pick him up.
Absolutely coming back.
He never touched a woman. He didn't. All it was verbal stuff. It's guy talk. It was inappropriate. I get that. But this
alleged
thing with Fox News is about Sky News. They want to close the deal on Sky News in Britain. They're worried about how the regulators are going to look at this. This isn't about Bill O'Reilly and what he did.
It's about business. I get that. And it's also about Rupert Murdoch being 86 and his kids running the company now, which I find a little bit disconcerting, because they ran, Ailes down the road. Megyn Kelly followed. Now Bill O'Reilly. It's three hits in a short period of time. But Bill O'Reilly had impact on things like the Georgia 6th, like the presidential election. He has influence. He's not going to sit out in the pasture. So I just disagree with that. I think that he'll be back somewhere, and it won't be very long.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be at the Blaze or at Newsmax. I think this is Glenn Beck's moment. He struggled to get the Blaze on national attention, and they have something of a relationship. So I wonder, I'm Glenn Beck. I'm going to go all in on this one and see if I can't get my network off the ground with Bill O'Reilly.
No question. If the Blaze can get O'Reilly,
like that.
If the Blaze can get O'Reilly, the Blaze becomes a network. It has been a kind of a secondary half thought, you know, this and that. And they run radio programs. I think you're on it. And I've said since yesterday, if they can work a deal, it'll be a blockbuster. Anyhow, Brian, I got to run, but I greatly appreciate it. We'll be checking back, of course, with you on the 6th and everything else is going on. Good luck in Atlanta.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And I am sorry about the Falcons still, just so we're clear on that. Okay.
Me too.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much. It's Brian Crabtree, regular contributor here on the program. Seems like he's still a little bit upset about that whole Falcons thing. Wouldn't you be? Good Lord. And by the way, Tom Brady didn't even show up at the White House yesterday. Everybody else did. Gronkowski came out to help Sean Spicer out at the podium during the press briefing. If you missed, it was kind of cute. It's 52 after on this Thursday. I'm glad you stopped in. You're listening to The Steve Gruber Show.